Hello, thank you for being here and being interested in this really sensitive topic. Today I'm going to talk about the topic of replacement child syndrome in the viewpoint of a bereaved mom and also as a professional who supports bereaved parents. My name is Julia Gulke. I'm a grief counselor, I'm a life coach, and I'm a systemic therapist in training. Also, I am a bereaved mom. I lost my son in February 2016 when he was born prematurely in the 26th pregnancy week, and he died in my arms 5 days later. And that was the worst time of my life, and also kicking off an immense healing and growth journey, an immense journey of self-discovery, of finding a new identity, and also learning about grief and trauma and the family system. And after a while, I decided that I want to support other bereaved parents in their way, in their path of healing. So I started studying and I started supporting other women, and I'm still studying because, as you know, this is a never-ending story. And on my search for different topics to integrate in this field of trauma, grief, loss, baby loss, premature birth, and so on and so forth, I found a seminar by Christina Schilinski that's talking about replacement child syndrome. And I was instantly intrigued and signed up, and I joined this amazing 2-day seminar. And I was surprised in a way because I was the only bereaved mom there. And I talked to Christina about this, and she said, yeah, it's really hard to reach bereaved parents with that topic. And I absolutely get it, because I was a bit scared joining that seminar too. And being there, I noticed that there were a lot of replacement children that were interested in the topic, who were there, and that made it really real, hearing them talk about their struggles as the replacement children, in comparison to maybe hearing a theoretic presentation about the topic, where I can maybe distance myself a little bit more, and also they couldn't really distance from me when I told my story of losing my son and being here as that kind of representation for mothers. So for those of you who are new to the topic, I want to quickly tell you what is the definition of replacement children. And replacement children are children who are born after a baby died in order to replace them. So as simple as it sounds. And there are some exceptions where they can replace someone else who was lost, they can replace an older sibling, not being the one that was born right after, but with the very close definition, that's where we're coming from. And they all have some things in common, some struggles, some challenges to find their identity in life. I'll come to them in the rest of this audio. But first, I want to say a little bit about who I am recording this for. And that's a little bit of the struggle that I'm in, because I'm recording this for 3 types of people, in a way. On the one hand, I'm recording this for you. If you are a bereaved parent, if you have lost a baby, if you have lost a child, and you want to hear about this topic from someone who gets it, from someone who is a bereaved parent as well and understands the struggle and the thoughts and the thinking behind it. So that's me, because I was sitting in there and I was thinking like, oh my God, this is too much. How am I ever going to be allowed to have another child? Like, how can I do this, quote unquote, this right? And that's a little bit about what I want to talk about here too. And on the other hand, I'm recording this for you when you're a replacement child, and maybe with an open heart you can listen to this and hear a few of my struggles and struggles of bereaved parents, so you can open your heart to your parents who, you know, who you maybe have some judgments, and I think that's completely like normal. We all have that, or most of us have that towards our parents. So despite saying like I see you too in your struggles, and it definitely hasn't been easy for you, maybe you can understand a little bit about where your parents came from. Maybe you already do. Like, I'm not saying that you're not already shifting your perspective towards that way. And then I guess I'm also talking to professionals who want to have a quick overview into those kind of both viewpoints on the replacement child syndrome. And to any of you, I'm really happy to talk to you deeper about this topic. I'm still learning a lot about it, so I barely scratched the surface, I think. But that's okay for this audio. And first of all, thank you for being here, all of you, for listening, for being interested in this very important topic. The rest of the audio, I'm going to mainly address bereaved parents. So, if you're a bereaved parent, I want you to know that it's only natural to want another child when your baby dies. So here, when I'm here talking about replacement children and why they're suffering and what they're struggling with, I'm not here to point a finger at any parents who want a rainbow baby, who want a baby after they have lost a baby. And I think it is so natural because you haven't only lost your baby, and only, of course, quote unquote, but you also lost that future plan, and you probably were pregnant with that baby because you wanted to have a family. So with the loss came a deeper loss of identity, of future plans, future goals, and having that family, seeing that child growing up. You know, you didn't just lose the baby, you lost everything, all the future plans you had with the baby. And that's why I think it's only natural that you want another baby, so you can fulfill your dream. So I'm saying I get this, and I don't want to tell you to never get kids again. Definitely not. And that was a little bit what I was afraid of when I went to the seminar. Like, am I going to go out and say like, okay, I'm not going to have kids again. They're going to be struggling so much, and I don't want that for them. And no, that's not what it is. But what I want to bring for you in this episode is some awareness of what adult replacement children describe as what they struggle with, and how you can use this awareness to support your rainbow babies, to support those children of you who will be born after the baby you lost. And if you're already there and you already have your rainbow baby, congratulations, and amazing that you are listening here anyways. And if you notice that you did some of those things that I'm talking about, the awareness that you're receiving by listening to this is still gonna help you, support you in making further decisions and helping your kids. So let us talk about the challenges and what you can do about them. A lot of replacement children struggle with an absent mom or an absent dad, like someone who is so in their grief, maybe in their depression, that they can't focus on being a parent to their living child. They struggle with the life and death obsession. You can see that in some of the artists for our replacement children. And to just name a few, famous replacement children are Goethe, Picasso, Dali, Edvard Munch, Hermann Hesse, Franz Kafka, but also Lady Di, Elvis Presley, and Bruce Springsteen. And when we come to therapist, Carl Gustav Jung was a replacement child, and Sigmund Freud was a replacement child too. And for them, I guess it is important to say that, yeah, they were not like diagnosed with replacement child syndrome, but if we look back at their lives and at their struggles and challenges, and knowing that they were born after a sibling who has died, they have the struggles and the challenges that come with the replacement child syndrome. Some of them might even be famous or have this drive to be famous, to have this personality to make up for feeling not good enough, like compensation for this missing identity or missing lack of acknowledgement of themselves in their childhood. And I really recommend you to look at the Replacement Child Forum from Christina Shalinsky that you can find online and learn more about it if you want to know more about the struggles and challenges that replacement children have and what they have in common. And I want to pay a lot of attention to what you as a bereaved parent might be able to do different so your child, when they grow up, are not identifying with the replacement child syndrome. Number one, and that makes so much sense, is don't compare and don't replace, right? So if replacement children struggle with identity and self-worth and they're not feeling good enough, it's sometimes because their siblings have been idolized, yeah? So let's talk about, give an example. When I have another child and I always compare it with the child I lost, Simon, and I would say like, oh, Simon was so easygoing, he never cried, or even if it would Simon have been so complicated as well, or would he be so grumpy, or would he be like this or that, especially if it's negative connotations that you bring with that, and you think your first child, the child you lost, would be better. You wonder if they would be better, quote unquote. And of course, another thing that gives a lot of identity to you is your name. So don't name your child after the child you lost. Like, it shouldn't be Simon the Second, and it also shouldn't be Simona or some other kind of version of the name. And that is really, really important, because you're not allowing your child to have the same identity. You still have this thought of like, it's the replacement or even the rebirth of the child you lost. So make sure that you're letting go of that idea. They're not the same and they can't be the same. And a lot of that, though, is also unconscious. So bring it to your awareness when you're doing those kind of things and when you start comparing or idealizing the child you lost. And if your rainbow baby is not feeling loved or understood, that will impact the rest of their life. So I know, I get the feeling that when you're here and you're listening to that, you're kind of have this sense of awareness already, and I want to like celebrate you for listening and allowing yourself to learn those kind of things and becoming aware of them. And with that, you're doing such an important first step. So allow your kids to develop their own identity and let them be individual, who they are, what they do, what they want, and love them for exactly that. And I know that this is from the people I know who are listening to this podcast and who are following me on Instagram and who I talk to and who I work with. This individual part and the love is less of a challenge. What I see might be another topic, and that's the pressure that replacement children feel to be good. To be good in many different ways. They might know that you love them and that you think they are amazing and you wanted them. But if a part of you is thinking that you can't be happy until you have another baby, and you think like, when I have this baby, my grief, my sadness will be over, and you give them the responsibility for your happiness, that's a big thing to carry and the big thing to do for your parents. So maybe do a little check-in, like, if that is what you're thinking, and what of that you might be able to release. Because like I said in the beginning, you have a life construct of you want the family and you want your own children, see them growing up and see them doing whatever they do. But if you're sending out the message consciously or unconsciously with words or with what you're doing and saying that they need to be there in a certain way, possibly that is just like a life, so you can be happy, they most likely will feel a lot of pressure. So if you're struggling with fear and anxiety and you want to be in control of everything, that's probably what they are feeling too. They feel like they need to be careful for you. They might hold your depression, your anxiety, your fear, so you don't need to hold it. If you're like not letting them take any risk, not climb a tree in the worst case, they can't have any health issues without you getting really anxious and panicky, you're helicoptering around them, and they don't get their own autonomy, they can't have any shadows, any problems, any challenges without you feeling uneasy about it. You're feeling scared, you're feeling sad because of that, and you're unconsciously projecting all of those issues on them. They will carry them for you and try to not have them and not be themselves, and that will add a lot of pressure to their life. I think what's important there is to start your own healing journey so you can have children growing up to trust in themselves, trust in life, and you can do that by doing the same. And well, that is a big healing task, because it's mostly what we want for ourselves, to be able to trust in life again, to be able to trust ourselves again, to be able to trust that it won't happen again. This child will live. And in a sense, it's also letting go of the control of the things that aren't in our control. Like, we can't put our child in an empty room with like cushioned walls so they don't hurt themselves, because that's not how life works. And it's a huge learning field for us as bereaved parents, I think. Like, I see that many bereaved parents, that they have that struggle with fear and anxiety, and that they also struggle with their own sadness, with their own emotions, and then their kids want to pick that up for them and hold that for them in an unconscious way. Like, it's not like I'm saying, like, you think necessarily that your kids should hold that for you, but they do. They usually feel that and do that and try to make you be happy. And saying that, that was a big ball to drop, and it's a big thing to let go that not just bereaved parents struggle with. It's a lot of trauma and grief that we're holding on, and that's not just for us that way, it's for a lot of other families similar. So what I want you to take from this is allow yourself to start healing. Start doing the work, putting in the work for yourself to heal your grief, heal your trauma. And that said, you're allowed to grieve, you're allowed to be sad, but be conscious about that, be aware of it. And if you're sad, you can also communicate that with your living children. Like, yeah, I am sad because this baby died, your brother died, your sister died. And that's okay. We all can be sad sometimes. And you don't need to make me smile or make me happy. That's okay. I'm a grown up. I can hold this for myself. I can do this. And talk about the child you lost. Talk about them. That's okay. If you're not starting to compare or put them like on a what's it called in English, a podest, on the throne, like put them on this position where they're holy and better than anyone else and this unreachable goal. Like, be really conscious about that, so your living children don't think like that's the thing to be attained, like to be this lost child. Yeah, you love them because it's their sibling, and you don't love them more than you love them. That was complicated. But yeah, you're allowed to grieve. But learn to hold your own emotions. Yeah, do put in the work to learn that. And work on your grief and trauma. Heal and grow. Put in the awareness and the consciousness. Understand the replacement child syndrome. Understand your own trauma reactions. Understand emotions of your children, and see their patterns, see where they're doing something that might not be for them to do, like try to make you happy or something like that, and become really conscious about that. And I really want you to know that we can all heal. And I think it's also really important, like despite saying all of that, that all parents make mistakes. We all have our shadows, we all have our things that we're carrying around, and that we accidentally like put on our kids, or put kids take them, and they can heal as well from that. But you can make it easier by starting to heal your stuff, work on yourself. And I think, like, for me, it's a bit scary, to be honest, because I don't want my kids to have like those struggles or other struggles. So it's like, oh, why shouldn't I have children again? But I want to give you what I take away from this, and it's don't freeze, like don't let this fear of not being good enough yourself hold you back from doing something that you want to do, for example, from having kids. You can do that. You can hear, your kids can hear, and I think that's really important. Like if we allow ourselves to look at it, don't look away, get support, grief counselor, coaches, therapists, that's really, I think, really important, because we all have our blind spots, and I can't heal in an empty room because I need someone to talk this through with, for example, someone who gives me tools and techniques to deal with my emotions, to deal with my thoughts, to understand where they're coming from, to see where I can let them go, where I can shift them. So you don't need to do this on your own. And with that, I will let you go. And I want to give you an invitation to give me feedback, to ask me something if you have a question. If something was confusing, you want to know more, I might need to ask someone else too to help you answer this question, but we'll see. Share your thoughts with me. Maybe I left something open. Maybe you have a completely different opinion and this triggered you. Share with me how this triggered you. I'd be curious, and maybe I can it helps me see a different perspective. Or if I didn't mention things that I should consider. And if you need support, of course, you can also reach out to me, reach out to Christina Szelinski, other people who are knowledgeable in this topic. I am sending you strength and a lot of love. Bye, Julia.